This is the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.
We'd like to say that, in our opinion, it is not suitable for children or for those of you who may have a nervous disposition.
Annoying. Check. Abrasive.
What?
Check. Obnoxious.
Hey.
Irritating.
Wait,
check.
Come on.
Tell me
now.
Again why you even listen to this guy. It's Jeremy Lunnon on the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.
That's nitpicking.
Hey, it's time to do this again. It's the Taco Tuesday edition of the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. I'm Jeremy and glad to have you aboard. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. You can always email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com. We got some things to get to, so let's hop right in here. Black Sabbath has joined Spotify's Billions Club with the band's classic song, Paranoid. There's only about 500 songs that have had a billion streams, and now Black Sabbath's Paranoid is one of those. So it joins other tracks, including Metallica's Nothing Else Matters, Aerosmith's Dream On, Survivor's Eye of the Tiger, ABBA's Dancing Queen, Guns N' Roses' Paradise City, Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. Okay, so all of those songs have had a billion downloads. So the band has probably made upwards of, $50 or $60 from that song. So congratulations to Sabbath for that milestone. Now, this is from the Dirty Laundry. The Dirty Laundry Goes On and On file. There's been a back and forth, a tit for tat, a he said, she said, going on, well, frankly, in many of our favorite bands, but the one of note today is Dawkins. So I don't know if you've seen the back and forth going on. I don't know who started it, right? I don't know who started it, and I don't know why you do it in public. Because again, here's what I always say. We don't like it because it makes us have to choose sides. Right? We don't like it. It makes us uncomfortable. Yet here I am talking about it. So Don Dawkins, we covered it probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. He basically says that he wrote everything. The guys he worked with were all drug dealers. No, not drug dealers. They were all drug addicts. Okay. I'm getting confused because the members of Motley Crue said the same things about each other. So it kind of gets confusing. But he threw that out there. Jeff Pilson, the bass player in Dawkins, currently a member of Foreigner, he comes back and says, no. Don Dawkins had a massive drug habit. He was the one that was doing drugs, and he didn't do everything. He's taking credit for stuff that he didn't do. Well, today, George Lynch, he chimes in and he gets on a screed. He gets into political crap. We won't cover that part, but here's the interesting part. Okay. He chimes in on this idea that Don Dawkins wrote everything and came up with everything and all of this, which Don has kind of said for a while. Here's what George said, and hang in here with me. This is a long quote. I'll leave some of it out because this is a family show. He says, quote, this is George Lynch. Well, here's how records have always gone down with Dawkins. Jeff Pilson and George, and to a lesser extent, Mick Brown, the former drummer, we get in a room, mostly Jeff and I, whether it was on the road or at home, and we woodshed, literally. And we would just go for days and days and days and come up with these records, the bulk of the records. And Don had some input here and there on good songs, important songs. Him and Jeff wrote In My Dreams, I think without input from me. Don had Alone Again. I don't know where he sourced that out from, but that was his song. But 90% of the material was Jeff and I. And on later records, Don would come in and do melodies and lyrics, sometimes on his own, sometimes with Jeff's help, sometimes with all of our help. But Tooth and Nail was, I was involved a lot with Tooth and Nail, lyrically and melodically. I came up with most of those titles. I think if not all of them. And the lyrics And then Jeff would sing all these records that we did with Dokken. Jeff would sing all the guide vocals, most of them. And then we'd bring it in and Don would just ghost what Jeff did. But what we did was raise the bar so high that Don really had to set up. He had vocal coaches and we had a lot of people looking at us and we had a lot on the line with the label and the management and the record deals and the public. So Don would step up with our help and we would support him. We said, it's got to be this quality. And Jeff is a great singer. Jeff is a great singer, by the way. A way better singer than Don now. Maybe not back in the day, but Jeff can actually sing better than Don now. So Jeff would lay down the vocal, which was our guide vocal, and Don would go in and match it with Jeff's help. And that's how we got these records to be as good as they could be. As far as the performances and so forth, and so to go relitigate that and try to explain that some other way is absolutely ridiculous and untrue, but whatever. So his point is, no, Don didn't write everything and come up with everything. And listening to both Jeff and George, the opposite may be the case. I don't know. In a new interview with Japanese music critic and radio personality Masahito of TVK's Rock City, Rob Halford spoke about the fact that he and his bandmates sound rejuvenated, full of energy and passion on their upcoming album, Invincible Shield. This comes out the 8th. So what is that, Friday? Yeah. Invincible Shield comes out Friday. Guys, I got to tell you, there's either been 3 or 4 singles released already, and they're all really good. So I am looking forward. I may be as excited about this album as I was about the Saxon album. And I'm still loving the new Saxon album, Hellfire and Damnation. Another plug. Go listen to that album today. This one has all the makings of being another great album. But he said they feel excited and rejuvenated. Quote, well, metal keeps you young. I think it's true. I think the metal feelings have such great rewards for your body and for your mind and for your soul and for your spirit. And it keeps you full of energy, keeps you full of enthusiasm, and keeps the fighting spirit alive and keeping the metal faith alive. I don't know what that means, but he says, I'm a lucky guy. I've been singing metal for over 50 years and the voice still is able to do the job. And I want to try and make it do. And yeah, I worked really hard on this album to give our fans the best possible vocal performance I could make. Metal. I don't know, you know this, but over the last couple of years, there have been some health challenges. I mean, we knew that Glenn Tipton, he has Parkinson's disease. He's very limited with what he can do with the band. He'll come out and play a song or two live. But if you remember, Richie Faulkner literally almost died on stage. And Richie's like 41. I mean, he's young. He had acute cardiac aortic dissection, which literally during a performance, he has this massive heart attack. And he finished. That's metal, dude. That's metal. He finished the show. And then they rush him to the hospital and he almost died. Rob had battled prostate cancer. Okay, so these guys, they're beat up physically. Quote, when you have difficulties in your life, when you have challenges in your life and you're able to overcome them and you're able to come back stronger than before, something changes inside of you. I think this happened for a lot of people in the pandemic all over the world. We all were feeling the same kind of experiences. It was very difficult not to see friends, not to see family, not to be able to go to metal shows. Music kept us alive. Wow. So that's part of the ingredients for this album that never happened before. It's just a lot of emotions and a lot of understanding life a little bit differently now. So I'm sure that for Judas Priest as a band with our metal, this is very special. You can feel the lifting power of life in all the songs on Invincible Shield. It's the metal. John Anderson and the Band Geeks will hit the road this year for the Yes Epics Classics and More tour. So you guys have heard me talk about Band Geeks. Richie Castellano, who's actually a member of Blue Oyster Cult, but he's got this great YouTube channel where he and a bunch of his super talented friends do these incredible covers of songs, not easy songs, I mean, you go see them play, you know, Close to the Edge, right? You go see them play these Yes songs and these progressive rock songs and Dio songs. I mean, they do everything and they do them all awesome. John Anderson hooked up with these guys a while ago, and now the Band Geeks are his backing band, and they're going on tour. And they're going to be releasing a new album. How about that? This tour will begin May 30th in New Brunswick, New Jersey, followed by stops in cities like Chicago, Boston, Nashville, Denver. They're going all over the place. Mostly Yes stuff, but they'll be doing some new stuff. And like I said, they're preparing to record an album. John Anderson with the Band Geeks. That'll be awesome. Everyone asks him, hey, John, would you ever get back together with the surviving members of Yes? He says, when I'm out there singing on my own, I still think I'm part of Yes. They still feel like my songs. So I think he is not opposed, excuse me, to the idea. You know, Chris Squire's gone. Alan White is gone. So the classic Yes lineup is dwindling. So if they want to do something, hopefully it's sooner rather than later. Okay, let's end on a fiery note. Can we do that? Let's end on a fiery note. You know of my love for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, man. I don't even know where to start here. I don't know where to start here. By the way, RockDog218 is checking in. He says, I still don't understand why John Anderson isn't in Yes. You and me both, brother. You and me both. And RockDog, thank you so much for chiming in. So let's talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm on Ultimate Classic Rock. You know, I checked Ultimate Classic Rock, to be honest, one of my favorite classic rock sites the classic rock news sites. It's probably my favorite, but there's an opinion piece, and this guy is probably a really nice man. Maybe his medication's off. I don't know. I don't want to presume to speak for him, but he posts this article just a few hours ago, and it's five reasons why Sinead O'Connor should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And this encompasses and he's not part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's his opinion, right? Just that's all I've got is my opinion. But he's trying to make the case why she should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he spells out some points there. Maybe they're valid, maybe they're not. But the headline alone is all you need to know about what's wrong with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Because if you're going to include Sinead O'Connor, you're excluding someone else. There are two things that are necessary in my mind for you to be in the Rock and Roll Hall, or should be. It's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay, so to me, that implies two things. You play rock and roll and you're famous. The more rock you played and the more famous you are, the more qualified you should be to be in the hall. So a couple things I want to ask. First of all, did Sinead play rock and roll? Someone mentioned one of her songs had some rap in it, so that would qualify it. Again, part of the problem. So that's my first question. Did Sinead play rock and roll? Okay, if she did, and I have my I can only tell you one Sinead O'Connor song. So that leads me to my next point. Does she meet the fame qualification? I mean, many people know of her, maybe not from her music. It might be from her tearing up pictures of the Pope on Saturday Night Live, or it might be for her mental illness issues, or for whatever reason, does she meet the bar of fame? Did she move the needle for enough people to qualify? This is not a rant against Sinead O'Connor, by the way. My personal thought is, no, she shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But neither should Nina Simone or Tom Waits. Nothing against those artists. I mean, if I got nominated, yeah, I'd take Dolly Parton. Nothing. I love Dolly Parton. Should she be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Heck no. Right? But again, this has been the MO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Forever. Rock Dog says, we've got to get Foreigner in this year. Frampton 2, Ozzy's a lock. Absolutely. I think all three will make it in. That's my personal opinion, Rock. If Foreigner doesn't go in, right? Can you imagine Sinead O'Connor going in and Foreigner not going in? I mean, literally, I mean, we've all known that the Rock Hall is a joke for 20 years, and it gets increasingly jokey. And that's just the way it's been. Tucker says may as well include Taylor Swift too. They should stay in their own genes. I think genres maybe is what Tucker means, or genes. Maybe that works too. I don't. Thanks, Tucker. Good to see you. So yeah, I the author, by the way, of this opinion piece is Michael Gallucci, and I don't mean to be beating up on him, but I kind of do. I mean, this is a guy that writes for a classic rock site, and he's making the case for Sinead O'Connor to, and I don't think, I don't run the Rocket. They can put anyone in that they want, right? But I can also criticize it for being stupid, okay? And that is stupid. When Sinead O'Connor, if she makes it in, goes in before, and this is assuming Foreigner makes it in, right? If she goes in before Styx and before Kansas and before Boston and before REO Speedwagon and before, I don't think Grand Funk is in there. If she goes in before those legitimate, famous rock and roll bands, you know it's a complete joke. You know it's a complete joke. That's all you need to know. And we say this every single year, you know, when we see Missy Elliott go in, or some rap act go in, and we don't see legit classic rock icons go in. That's all you need to know. It's a joke. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Shoot me an email, classicguitarrock@mail.com. That's classicguitarrock@mail.com. Love you guys. Thank you so much. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Live long and prosper. Bye-bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.